The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The FBI is now warning state and local police about the potential for violence with these calls from Trump to protest. What's the latest there?
Well, we know that the FBI is monitoring this potential indictment of Trump, but what we've learned is that they don't believe that there's any plans for violence or criminal activity, Trevor, at this point. But we know that the rhetoric that Trump has been using has led to an increase in online chatter that could indicate violence in some form. The FBI says they're in touch with the Washington field offices, with the New York field offices, and will continue to work with state and local partners, of course, as this potential indictment is looming.
It's almost like they really want to see some violence erupt over this oncoming indictment of Donald Trump, whether he gets arrested today or not. It's looking like it probably won't happen. But still, and then the FBI, they're warning local law enforcement, this could be another January 6th. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us for today's show. Just go to trumpetdaily.com if you want to watch the live stream of this show every weekday morning at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. So they've got all the cameras on where? Outside Trump Tower in New York, for example. All the cameras to catch the protesters. And, you know, there's like 20 protesters, at least with this one feed. And there's probably more. I like the guy with the shofar, by the way. But there's probably more members of the media, more journalists present. And it's just like January 6th. Remember that story I gave to you a week or two ago where it said how the media were so prepared? They were ready for January 6th. I mean, they were ready for the insurrection. The FBI had prepared them. It does just make you wonder whether or not the statement, the announcement, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, if it was all meant to just try to stir up Trump supporters, get them out on the street. Because once they're out there protesting, then you can incite. The FBI is really good at inciting a riot or inciting violence. They're quite good at it now. This is a corrupt and rogue agency. And, of course, the whole investigation in New York is headed up by a lawless and corrupt district attorney. This is from Politico. It says, by the book, DA confronts unpredictable opponents in Trump. Yeah, Bragg is just going right by the book. What a laughable headline. Going by the book, this Soros-funded DA. I'll get to George Soros and his contributions in races all over the country. It's part of the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. You get corrupt DAs in there. Of course, there's plenty of corrupt judges. You get somebody tried in Manhattan or maybe in the District of Columbia. I mean, they could go to the slammer for years. The New York Times, speaking of New York, I gave you this quote a couple weeks ago where it says that Bragg's charge against Trump is an untested and therefore risky legal theory involving a complex interplay of laws all amounting to a low-level felony. This is how they're going to take down Hitler. This untested legal theory, combining these laws, the state statute together with the federal law, campaign violation, and here Trump funded his own campaign. Unbelievable. They'll take him down any way that they can, even if it's on some kind of a technicality. I'll play you some clips from Tucker here in just a moment. He had a guy on last night who was very close with Michael Cohen and basically said this is supposedly Bragg's lead witness, Michael Cohen. Are we still on? Everything just went dark here. I'll keep talking until they give me a thumbs down in the studio. In any event, we just had the power outage here. Keep going. It's good. All right. Well, we'll play. This is from his name is Robert Costello. He was on with Tucker last night, and here's what he had to say about this this sham of an investigation. Clip three.
We can't know whether there'll be an indictment or what's in it. But from the leaks that you have read in, say, the New York Times, how do you assess this case?
Weak, to say the least. I just spent 2 hours or so testifying before the grand jury in downtown Manhattan. And I got my point across, although it was clear to me that the Manhattan DA's office did not want to get to the truth. I need to explain that a little bit. I called them up after I saw Michael Cohen on TV stating things that he said he was going to tell the grand jury and had told the grand jury that were contrary to what he told us when we first represented him in April of 2018. So I'm sitting at home watching these lies, and I said, I've got to do something about it. I don't represent Donald Trump, but I do stand for justice, and I think I have a legal obligation to inform both sides. So that's what I did.
So there's Robert Costello. He testified. He testified before this New York grand jury. He knows all about Michael Cohen. He tried to tell the grand jury the truth. And as he brought out there, Bragg didn't want to hear the truth. He didn't want to hear truthful testimony. It's all a setup. It's all meant to just take down Donald Trump. Here's a bit more from Costello last evening, clip four.
And I contacted the Manhattan DA's office and I asked, could we meet with Alvin Bragg? Because I wanted to present this to Alvin Bragg as I had presented it to the Southern District. I wanted him to look me in the eye and assess my credibility. Did I have more credibility than Michael Cohen? Because Michael Cohen, in my opinion, was lying about just about everything. I specifically told them that there were two main points that I wanted to make clear. That Cohen had told us that when we first met him, that he was suicidal. Why is that important? Because when you're suicidal, thinking that that's the only way out of your legal mess, and you're presented with the following options, that you can cooperate against Donald Trump and provide information that would get you a get-out-of-jail-free card, and you respond to us, I do not have any information on Donald Trump. And he said it many times during that two-hour meeting. I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump. And I had my law partner who knew Michael Cohen for 10 years on Columbia Grammar and Prep School here in Manhattan because Cohen was on the board of directors.
Yeah.
And when I heard him say that he was suicidal the weekend before standing on the roof of the Regency Hotel, I didn't know whether he was a drama queen or telling the truth. So I looked at my partner and he shook his head and nodded, I think he's telling the truth. And later on, we got that corroborated by the Reverend Jerry Falwell and his wife, who had dinner with Michael Cohen, who told him the same thing. Why is that important? Because when you're willing to give up your life in order to avoid these legal troubles, when they're insurmountable to you, and you're offered a way out, you say, all you have to do is cooperate on Donald Trump. Do you have anything on Donald Trump? And he says, no, repeatedly, I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything. Then you know that you've got a guy who probably doesn't have anything. It's certainly easier to give up information on Donald Trump than it is to kill yourself.
It's so easy for them to go and find a false witness, a liar. They've got one in Cohen, and here Costello, he goes and testifies, tries to set the record straight. He said further on in this interview that he wouldn't touch a witness like Michael Cohen for any amount of money. He wouldn't touch him. And Cohen, as he confided in Costello, Cohen has nothing on Trump. That's why they're going after him on the hush money. It's the only, and then trying to tie it in with the campaign finance violation. It's all that they can get. And it's amazing, as we've said over the past several months, just how many of these attacks are backfiring, in some cases in a spectacular way. I mean, Ron DeSantis, he's supposed to be, this is the establishment choice, the candidate of choice among the uniparty. This is who the Republicans want to put up front and center. It's happening, by the way, if he's arrested, Donald Trump, it would happen in DeSantis's state. So it very much involves him and the state that he's running. DeSantis took something like 2 or 3 days to come out and finally make a comment on this. And he's taking hits for it. Because he didn't come out and defend Donald Trump. Not very strongly. He took a cheap shot at him as well. So now it's hurting DeSantis. And he's the only one that's even within striking distance of Donald Trump politically. Then, of course, if the arrest happens, you can only imagine what that would do to the movement behind Donald Trump, the MAGA movement. Anyway, coming back to Alvin Bragg, I mean, he's obviously, there's powers that be working behind the scenes that are pushing his buttons, telling he's getting criticism, obviously, from the conservative side, as well he should, because he doesn't have a legal leg to stand on. But he's also getting some pressure from the radical left. Get Trump. You got to get Trump. This is from Tucker's commentary just last night. Again, just to emphasize the seriousness of this, because we're seeing a breakdown in law and order. I mean, it's been going on for years, as you well know. But listen to this from last night, clip two.
So after all the yelling from permanent Washington about January 6th and how it was a threat to our democratic norms and the peaceful transfer of power, they've decided to completely short-circuit our democratic norms, not to mention the peaceful transfer of power, using the courts and prosecutors. What happens if they get away with this? No one seems to be thinking this through. Everyone's all spun up. But what happens if they get away with this? If they use the Justice Department, in full view of everyone, to settle a political score and to keep the White House, just to take a guy out of the race who seems to be doing fairly well? We'll destroy the justice system. And that's not a small thing. A functioning justice system has kept this country peaceful for hundreds of years. The purpose of a justice system is to administer justice so that citizens don't have to do it themselves. You outsource that duty to the government. But what happens when you take that away? When there is no justice system? What happens when the Department of Justice decides that its goal is not justice, but protecting the ruling class at all costs? Think about that. People are still going to demand justice. The desire for justice is an inherent human desire. We are born with it. But if there's no neutral place to do it, some people will decide they're going to have to do it themselves. Ooh. Now, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we can say for certain it's going to be really ugly.
That's Tucker last night showing how the Department of Justice has been weaponized. It's used to preserve the ruling class, to protect those radicals in power, and to persecute their political enemies. Richard Palmer had a trumpet brief last night. We've stressed or emphasized modern Rome, and that was the feature in the February issue of The Trumpet. I've taken you through some of those writings recently. But he says here, it's hard to pick just one cause of the fall of the Roman Republic, but the use of the judicial system to persecute opponents is certainly one of the most immediate. It says here, this is why Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon and marched on Rome. If he hadn't, he knew he would have been prosecuted the moment he stepped down from office. It says, the U.S. is walking down the same road. From now on, will the only way to avoid being dragged through the courts be to stay in office as long as possible? There's some real parallels here with what happened anciently in Rome, and as that issue, the February issue, brings out, there were plenty of Romans at that time that just thought, well, the empire could never fall. I mean, we could never go into decline. We're just too big. We're too powerful. Too big to fail. And yet, look at what happened. Have we learned this lesson of history? What happens when there's a total breakdown of law and order? This is how great nations die. This is how great nations come crashing down. The United States and Britain in prophecy, I've pointed you to this in recent shows. This is Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong's signature work on prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy, and so much of it, as this book brings out, pertains to the United States and Britain. If you don't have a copy of this book yet, just call our operators. They're standing by, 1-866-930-3024. We've been talking in the Trumpet magazine for decades about this trend toward lawlessness and disorder. This is way back in 2001, a 2001 Trumpet magazine, May of that year. called The War Against Law. There's a war against it. And my father says here, in America and Britain, there's a war raging over law. Many of our people don't comprehend it, but lawyers, judges, and politicians understand it very well. Which side is right? Or is either side right? If we fail to establish and maintain the rule of law, our republic will collapse. That is the clear lesson of history. And he went on in that article to talk about the Greek Empire that also collapsed because it couldn't uphold that rule of law. Law and order. I mentioned George Soros and the $1 million that went into getting Alvin Bragg in place there as a district attorney in New York. This is from Legal Newsline. It says here, a political committee backed by billionaire George Soros is spending millions of dollars to defeat the conservative candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court in hopes of placing Judge Janet I don't know how to say her last name, on the bench and flipping the court majority to the liberal side. I mean, this is a swing state, and the Supreme Court in Wisconsin just has a narrow majority of conservative judges. And so Soros is in there with his people trying to flip this seat. He knows how crucial this is to get a communist on the bench. And it shows that, I mean, this article goes on and shows how that Soros, he pays attention to a lot of smaller races that basically go unnoticed because he knows this is how you get fundamental transformation through, by putting in place corrupt, as Tucker brought out there, corrupt courts, corrupt prosecutors. That's all you need. Who cares about the law? Just get a communist in there. It says here, a Better Wisconsin Together political fund has spent more than $4 million so far on internet and TV ads focused on the Supreme Court election, first opposing conservative candidate Judge Jennifer Doro in the primary, and then against Daniel Kelly in the general election. It says here, Better Wisconsin spending helped ensure that this radical, who has the support of the Democratic Party, is competing against an arch-conservative abortion opponent. Elon Musk, I think, put it best. He says, Soros figured out a clever arbitrage opportunity. The many small political contests, such as DAs and judges, have much higher impact per dollar spent than the big races. So it's far easier to sway the outcome. So he's got his money in these smaller races, like the district attorney's race for Mr. Bragg in New York. This is how you can change the whole system. This is how you get across fundamental transformation. The Bible has something to say about this breakdown of law and order. This is from Micah 3 and verse 1. It says, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel." It says, "Is it not for you to know judgment?" Now think about Micah 3. Think about Isaiah 3 and what God has taken away. The judges, the prudent men, the wise counselors, the cunning artificers, all that's listed off there in Isaiah 3. And here he says to those who should be leaders, "Is it not for you to know judgment?" My father said about this back in 2020. This again is from a Trumpet article. It says, God is addressing the heads of Israel, the rulers, magistrates, and government officials responsible for upholding the law. Their responsibility is to give us justice based on law. They of all people ought to understand judgment. The leaders of all people should understand judgment. I mean, people in these agencies like the DOJ and the FBI, above all, they should be upholders of law and order. As it is, we see these FBI informants inciting riots and protests, creating kidnapping plots and so on, just so that you can frame political opponents. To see this happen, I mean, it happened in ancient Rome. The whole system broke down because of this lawless spirit. Continuing in Micah 3 here, verse 2 says, "Who hates the good and loves the evil?" It's like Isaiah 5 says. We just flip it around backwards and call evil good and good evil. It says here, "Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones." It says, "Who also eat the flesh of my people." Cannibalism. destroying people's lives, sending them off to jail, to a gulag, so that they can rot in jail. It's happening. It says here, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces. As for the pot, it says, and as flesh within the cauldron. And God's speaking here figuratively. He's speaking spiritually. And he's talking about what our justice system does to the people, to the subjects. I mean, this is God's evaluation of justice in the United States today. Same with Britain. This is Micah 7. Notice verse 3. It says, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly, the prince sketch, it says, and the judge sketch for a reward, and the great man, he uttered his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. Everyone's involved. Everyone's in on it. The media are ready. I mean, they were ready for January 6th, and look at how ready they were last night and this morning. Just hoping there would be some violence in the streets so that the Joe Obama people can use it as another pretext to crack down on Trump supporters. It's not enough to beat him. He's got to be destroyed. His movement has got to be destroyed. My father wrote another article. Well, this is that one from 2020. He says, so many court judgments now revolve around judges trying to twist the law to fit a predefined political objective. Sound familiar? We're seeing it happen a lot. It says, these judges are exercising power like dictators and destroying the democratic process. And you see how deep-seated these problems, these sins are. No wonder God describes our society as sick and diseased, infirm from head to toe, Isaiah 1. Because it starts with Soros and people like the radicals like that, getting DAs in place, getting judges in place, flipping the Wisconsin Supreme Court so you have more radicals on the bench. Sickness through and through. And so much of it is being driven by the spirit of Antiochus. And my father has a lot to say about that here in America Under Attack. Make sure if you don't have this book yet, you call our operators and request your free copy. There's no cost, no obligation. Everything we offer on this show is offered without cost or obligation. I'll give you a quote from AUA. It says here, January 20, 2017 was Barack Obama's last day in the Oval Office. That day he left a handwritten message. Remember that message he left for Donald Trump? He said, America's presidents are, quote, guardians of those democratic institutions and traditions like rule of law, separation of powers, equal protection, and civil liberties that our forebears fought and bled for. Regardless of the push and pull of daily politics, it's up to us to leave those instruments of our democracy at least as strong as we found them. That's what Barack Obama wrote on the way out. He wrote that even as he was positioning the deep state to persecute, to harass Donald Trump and all things Trump for years, and it continues to this day. This is the spirit behind what we're seeing. It's the same spirit coming out of the DA's office in New York. My father writes here, Mr. Obama's note seemed noble and sincere. It was treated as such by many politicians and journalists, but it is one of the most diabolical and hypocritical messages ever written by an American president. That's true. That's true. It says Barack Obama spent his 8 years as president doing exactly the opposite of what he told Mr. Trump, advancing his agenda to weaken those democratic institutions and traditions in pursuit of his supreme goal, his supreme stated goal of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. The spirit of Antiochus, and of course behind him, there's the spirit of the devil, Satan the devil and his demon army. Revelation 12 says they've been cast down to this earth. They're confined now to this earth. And the Bible says, woe unto the earth and even the sea. These are the times that we're living in. I took you through 2 Timothy 3 on yesterday's show. Dangerous and perilous times. My father says in AUA, speaking of the spirit of Antiochus, he always He always sways people to disparage and break the law. This is the way the devil operates. Just disparage, break the law. We heard a forum this morning, the college students did, and some of us administrators as well, about the standard of perfection that God sets and how that we can't lower the standard. We have to rise to meet God's standard of perfection. Think about his perfect law. Think about the way Jeremiah wrote about the law of God in Psalm 119. It's just what I meditate on day and night. I love it. Oh, how love I thy law. You don't see that same attitude or spirit in Washington, D.C. or in the courts of this land. In so many cases, there's trumped up charges. There's people that are prosecuted that are innocent, and there's innocents that are going free. It's happening in New York. Here's a man, Bragg, who's worked, he's worked hard. One of his top priorities is to let criminals out of jail, hardened criminals, let them roam the streets. Here, and to hear these talking heads, as I played for you earlier, how rich is it for them to all of a sudden be very concerned about violence? What kind of violence? The violence that might happen, because as we've been lectured for years now, that's the greatest threat facing the United States. Domestic terrorism, MAGA supporters, Trump supporters. So here are in these strong, serious, and sobering tones, violence could erupt. The DOJ has warned local law enforcement. And meanwhile, look at our cities. Look, people can't even go to Walmart in Portland anymore. The Walmart is closing down. I mean, these big super centers, they move into places like Portland, and that pretty much crushes the little guy. And so the little guys disappear. A lot of them disappeared years ago. And now Walmart's all that so many locals have. And after Walmart, what's left? I guess everybody shops by Amazon. So we never go out. We don't see people anymore. Well, it's too dangerous. It's too violent. This is not God's world. Clearly, it is not God's world. This is Satan's world. And when you read about the world before the flood, Genesis 6, it says that the minds of human beings, it was just on evil continually, and it was such a violent time. And you know, Jesus said it's going to be just like the days of Noah. It's going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Right before the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, thank God for that prophesied event, the greatest event in the history of the universe, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. Godspeed that day. Jesus said to pray for it, to pray that God would hasten it, to pray thy kingdom come. America under attack. It says Obama spent his final days in office working with deep state operatives, figuring out how he could continue to undermine and even spy on the incoming president. Something diabolical was going on until Mr. Trump was elected, and it continued behind the scenes during his presidency. It continues to this day. I mean, you've got some talking heads that are even honest enough to admit, yeah, it's just a technicality, but look, we got to get Trump because of the larger sins here. He's like Hitler. He's dangerous. So put him behind bars any way that you can. A crime, to listen to Scarborough, to listen to his wife, go on and on, a crime is a crime is a crime. A conviction is a conviction is a conviction. No such language like that when you're talking about Hunter Biden's laptop. How many crimes are recorded on that? A crime is a crime is a crime, okay. But see, they get away with it. They get away with it. I told you yesterday about the big reveal last week coming from Representative Comer. Money from the CCP being funneled into the Biden crime family. The Biden family. He's the fake president of the United States. If a crime is a crime is a crime, as I said yesterday, you'd be hearing a little bit more about that on MSNBC. It says here, shamefully, the media were almost completely silent about this story. The harassment, the persecution, the criminality coming from Joe Bama, aimed at Donald Trump. Why aren't they interested? My father says. Again, this is America under attack. It says here, could anything be more important? This is about losing our country. This is about going from great freedom to the worst kind of tyranny. But in far too many cases, these news makers are complicit. See, they're lawless as well. They're criminals too. They're liars. Who gets up and kind of hopefully says, there could be violence. Oh, this could be another January 6th. There's more reporters out there outside of Trump Tower in New York City than there are actual protesters. It makes you wonder how many reporters were embedded into the January 6th protest as well. We know there were dozens of FBI agents. FBI agents, the media, they're all there. And then Tapper and Wolf Blitzer, they're in the studio. There to tell you that the people just kind of walking through Statuary Hall, that it's the most dangerous event in the history of the United States. It says finally in AUA, these events gave us a hard look at what radical leftists were willing to do to seize power and stay in power. They have no respect for the rule of law. They believe they are above law. Such contempt for the nation's founding principles is a grave threat to the republic. My father says no nation can survive such lawlessness. Yesterday on the show, I mean, we were talking about, in that second segment, about Sodom and Gomorrah and just the sins, and we can maybe spend a little bit more time on that in the next segment. But just to emphasize here how dangerous this is, as I say, these are nation-destroying sins. It's a nation-destroying sickness that goes from the top to the bottom, all the way through. Listen again to Tucker from last night, clip one.
But no matter what happens, if this indictment arrives, no matter who you voted for or plan on voting for, make no mistake, this is a turning point for the country. If the Democratic Party is allowed to do this, allowed to crush the presidential frontrunner, the main threat to their power, with a bogus criminal case, where does that leave us? We're done. Because that precedent will live forever. And voters will never again determine the outcome of a presidential election. It's remarkable when you think about it.
If they get away with this, as Tucker said, we're done. We're finished. It makes you think of 2 Kings 14, where it says God has to save them by the hand of Jeroboam. God has to do it. Because for sins this pervasive, for the lawlessness and disorder to be this pervasive, as he pointed out, I mean, that's a pretty sobering warning brought to you by the most popular man in cable news. There was an article, by the way, at Real Clear Politics, where this author compared Tucker Carlson to Edward R. Murrow, the famous newsman from the 1940s and 50s. And this guy says, in fact, Murrow broadcasted at a time when he enjoyed popularity and support coming from the general public and even from his fellow newsmen, when people were pro-American, when there were more patriots in news organizations, in government. And that's why Tucker is so remarkable, this author says, because he's standing up to these powerful forces. He's speaking truth to power. No one else will do it. Here he's exposed January 6th as a complete and total fraud. And here these talking heads are out there trying to stir up another fake insurrection. They've got to. I mean, that's embedded into their thinking, this narrative. It's the greatest threat facing the U.S. It says here, Tucker Carlson's decision last week to air previously unseen video of January 6th confrontation between protesters and Capitol Police put his own career at risk and has made him the subject of bipartisan scorn. See, they all go after him. You really and truly do make yourself a prey, as it says in Isaiah 59. If you stand up for truth, you become a target. These are the days we're living in. And so Trump's he's the number one target, for sure. And then you've got others like Tucker. It will probably take years to fully understand the importance of Carlson's challenge of the official Washington narrative of January 6th as a deadly insurrection. But Carlson wasted no time last Monday in laying out the framework of his complete rejection of the accepted truth pushed by the Biden Department of Justice, the House Select Committee on January 6th, and the mainstream media. You're going up quite a lot. You're going up against quite a lot. These are some powerful and evil forces. It says here, the powers that he would have you believe that Carlson had jeopardized national security by playing the tapes, probably 30 minutes out of 41,000 hours. Now, it is true, the tapes provided some interesting counterbalance to the nonstop harassment of Trump supporters that has taken place for the past 2 years. But if truth be told, the evidence on the tapes was much less significant than the reaction to them. It says here, what you really want to know now is if 30 minutes of video has the Uniparty crowd so scared, what else are they hiding? See, what else are they hiding? What else are they burying? They're good at this. They're good at establishing false narratives. They're good at burying the truth. The Bible says about the devil that there's no truth in him. None. None whatsoever. We came right up face to face with this spirit of destruction, when we fought 6 years in court, even before some corrupt judges. Imagine that. This goes back 20 years. The spirit of Antiochus to bury Mystery of the Ages, to keep Mystery of the Ages out of print. We're familiar with these tactics. If the reaction, I mean, this is a good point. The reaction says a lot about how corrupt these people are in their hearts. They just went ballistic. Over 30 minutes of footage and commentary that, as I said earlier, could have been a lot stronger from Tucker. But he's just there showing the video. They get so concerned about their crumbling narrative that they just lose it. They throw a fit. Says here, I think much more than the video, the censorship industrial complex wants to shut down any information or even belief that goes counter to the official narrative. And that's where Carlson got so deep under their skin that they were willing to rip themselves to shreds in an effort to get at him. It says, finally, everything Carlson said about January 6th for 3 days last week was a threat to their power. And he knew it. He knew this represented a threat to their power. How did my father put it in AUA? We're getting a hard look at what they're willing to do to seize power and to stay in power. That's from America Under Attack. As I say, if you haven't yet received your free copy of that book, the 800 number 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily. The Philadelphia Church of God offers all of its literature free of charge, at no cost or obligation. How does this literature get to those who request it? After obtaining Mr. Armstrong's literature copyrights in March 2003, the church recognized the immediate need for a place to process mail and store huge quantities of literature. Plans were soon completed for a multi-purpose 17,400 square foot facility on the Armstrong College campus. The Mail Processing Center is the central hub of distribution for the church's many publications. It anchors the northeast corner of the church's property and can be seen from nearly anywhere on campus. PCG literature of all kinds is ordered, printed, stored, and mailed in the MPC. Full-time employees and part-time Armstrong College student workers man literature request telephone lines on weekdays during business hours. These call center staff members focus on helping callers receive the literature they are looking for, as well as answering questions about the literature and the church's beliefs. They also enter literature orders and requests from thousands of letters the church receives. On Sundays, in-home Watts operators join the call center crew to answer phone calls from the Key of David television program, which airs on many stations in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean. Once literature is ordered, the requests go to the Mail Fulfillment Department, which is also housed in the MPC. Many PCG books, booklets, and other publications are printed in-house, although some are printed elsewhere and shipped to the MPC for storage and distribution. Once order slips are prepared, staff members and volunteers package the requested literature and prepare it for shipping. The MPC warehouse contains thousands of copies of every publication the church produces. Stock is constantly moving in and out of the warehouse as books are mailed and new shipments arrive. The warehouse staff is kept busy organizing, storing, and managing these massive pallets of literature. The MPC also houses the Trumpet Daily Studio, where this program is recorded. Two full-time Trumpet Daily staff members use the adjacent offices to prepare content for the radio program, record and edit the show, and publish it on various platforms. The recording studio is also used to record other KPCG.FM radio programs, such as Just the Best Literature. Some MPC staff members also record audio versions of books, booklets, and periodicals for the blind. The MPC is a hugely valuable asset to the work of God, helping fulfill the commission to prophesy again. To learn more about the Philadelphia Church of God and the free literature you can order, please visit pcg.church.
The Trumpet Daily.
There you go, the latest installment of Behind the Work, this beautiful facility that I get to run into sometimes. Because I get here just a couple minutes before we go live, but the guys are ready. The notes, generally speaking, are ready and prepared. The clips are all queued up. And then we jump into this beautiful studio here in the upstairs facility or room of the MPC. Just below us, you have all the offices up front. And, of course, the warehouse is behind us and the fulfillment center. Off to my left, just down a stairwell. So it's a wonderful multi-purpose center, which makes it easy for me as well to load up the table here with the literature that I sometimes show you because it's just downstairs. So in any event, another a good and exciting and informative episode or segment of Behind the Work. I read this to you yesterday from American Mind, The Queering of the American Frontier. And it talks about just how this Sodom and Gomorrah, the spread of Sodom and Gomorrah, it really does encompass every state in the United States. And people who fancy themselves as conservatives, they're certainly not conservative when it comes to traditional values. They're certainly not conservative when it comes to God's standard of morality. This is from the conclusion of that piece. I gave most of this article to you yesterday. But this author here says, I hate to ask this, but what are American values? What are, Mr. Armstrong used to talk about recapturing true values. That was the motto for his college, the college he established in 1947. We're here to recapture true values. And what are the true values? Well, you have to look to God's perfect standard. You have to look to God's holy law. If you're going to find what is really and truly valuable in God's sight, it says here, for a long time now, they have not included anything close to a moral code or a commitment to wholesome child rearing. Is it carpet bombing a faraway country for 20 years and leaving a trail of bodies at the airport as we flee? Is it our president bringing a TikTok famous trans woman to the White? Is this does this qualify as values, true values today? What are the American values? That's what he's asking here. It says here, is it American values to falsely imprison nonviolent political prisoners and hide exculpatory evidence of their innocence? Is it bringing the full weight of the federal government to bear on regular people and scientists who dare to post tweets about the virus Dr. Fauci himself funded? Are these true values? This is a little off topic, but you may have seen Fauci going door to door. And I don't know when this was. It was in the, I guess, peak level of the vaccine rollout. And here, just ordinary people in a minority community, by the way, are confronting the good doctor, fact-checking Fauci, and Fauci just blatantly lying to their face. Play this exchange if you have it, guys.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now. So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot on a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
If a lot of thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's like
much
the
more serious than the flu. Well,
you know, how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
The number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass?
Yeah, definitely. When you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
You're right.
But our campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear.
In fact, we got to get you vaccinated so that if you were to get infected, you could pass it on to them. So you're actually protecting your family by getting it vaccinated.
Well, I heard that it doesn't cure it and it doesn't stop you from getting it.
No. So on the very, very, very rare chance that you do get it, even if you're vaccinated, you don't even feel sick. It's like you don't even know you got infected.
Good for those people. I guess that's in Washington, D.C. somewhere. He's there with the mayor of D.C. going around trying to scare people. As the one guy said, if you're trying to pay people to take this drug, something's going on. Think about how radically different the United States is today than it was even just a few years ago. What are American values? What do Americans truly value? What kind of standard do we have with respect to law and order, as I was discussing in the first segment? God has an assessment. He tells us in Micah 3 what he thinks about our standard of justice. In Isaiah 1, it says in verse 5, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more." It says, "The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint." There's no strength in the heart. We're barely moving along with a pulse because of this sickness, because of this national disease. And again, it's the U.S. and Britain. Just like Mr. Armstrong says in his book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, verse 6 continues, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There's nothing there to fix it. Here again, you think of that prophecy in 2 Kings 14. God has to do it, and it's just a temporary intervention. We're certainly not going to turn it around because of our righteousness, because of our repentance. God says the sickness, it goes from the sole of the foot all the way through to the head. There's no soundness. Nothing there to heal. Verse 7 says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Do you see the United States being overthrown by strangers? Do you see what's happening to our cities? And then these liars go around promising a quick fix with just a jab and everything's good. You'll save grandma's life. They lie. They lie. Even the figures that are thrown out there. How about telling them about all the comorbidities? How that you're much more inclined to die of COVID if you've got other health problems? Where's the honesty? That man that answered the door there and was talking to Fauci, he's more honest and straightforward than Dr. Fauci, the highest paid federal government employee, or at least he was at the time. I mean, that says something. Notice again God's assessment. Verse 9, this is Isaiah 1, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. You know, this is a comparison that's made frequently in the scriptures. You can think about Jude, you can think about Peter, you can think about Isaiah, Ezekiel referred to Sodom and Jesus. Jesus said it's going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mentioned the example of Noah's day. Jesus warned us that just before he returns, that's the greatest event in the history of the universe, but he said just before that happens, you're going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice verse 10. Hear the word of the Eternal, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Give ear to God's law, the law of perfection. God rebukes the leaders here. He says, look at what you've done to your nations. Look at how many lies you've told. Look at the lawlessness, the lawless society that you've established. In the Isaiah booklet, my father says, God's church and nations of Israel are destroying the physical family, which should be patterned after God's family. It says, soon all nations shall flow to Zion, where God's family law is taught. You see, in God's kingdom, the family of God is going to be upholding the laws of God, that perfect standard that God sets for us. We'll be pointing people all over the world to the beautiful, unified, and loving marriage between Jesus Christ and the church. And the church will assist Jesus Christ in bringing in, ultimately, billions of children into that family union. The God family vision, the God family plan. My father says here, those who deeply learn the lesson today about God's family government will be teaching all nations in the very near future. See, we have a responsibility, we in God's church, to teach all nations. To let our lights shine. I mentioned the Philippians 2 study that we went through yesterday in Epistles of Paul. In that same chapter, Paul says, look, we've got to let our lights shine. We've got to set an example. Let the mind of Jesus Christ in. He's the perfect example. We're to follow in His steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. We've got perfect examples out in front of us. And God says, follow in those steps. And if you do, if you remain faithful all the way through to the end, then you can go out and teach others the more excellent way of God, to paraphrase what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12. It's a beautiful family vision through and through. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, we'd love to hear from you. td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.